So one of the great things about growth as we grow is that we, if anybody else needs, we learn about ourselves. Here we have take and pass. And sometimes we feel that when we think about ourselves, that we have conflicting components of our personality, of our spiritual personality, and then sometimes we find things about ourselves that we didn't expect. So today we're going to focus on what Rav Volpe calls the Shorish HaChesed VaHayira. That's the 13th chapter, which you have in front of you. And for some of you, this might not be a surprise. This might be patently obvious. But for me, this was a very novel idea in thinking about different aspects of our personality that maybe on one level seem to be in conflict with each other, which is fine because part of our job in life is to navigate conflicting trends and conflicting feelings, and to be able to regulate those. But maybe they're not as competing as we would think. And to do that, he says, let's look at one small statement in the Gemara. So here we are on line number one. Oh, could I trouble you just to tap the door, please? Thanks. He quotes a Gemara here in Maseches Sukkah on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis. Va'amar Reb Elazar, kol ha'ose tzedaka u'mishpat, ki'ilu mile es kol ha'olam kulo chesed. So the context of that Gemara has to do with tzedakah and chesed are obviously related to each other. Tzedakah is, although in Tanakh, tzedakah means doing the right thing. Contemporary usage of the word tzedakah means what we would call in English charity, but that's also a bad translation. Tzedakah has to do with doing the right thing with your finances. And chesed means doing the right thing with yourself, you know, sharing. And so tzedakah would be being gracious with your money, and chesed would be gracious with your time, with your energy, with what we're doing. So that's the context of this Gemara. That's what the general issue at hand is. So the Gemara says, if you do tzedakah and mishpat, ki'ilu, it is if, mile es kol ha'olam kulo chesed. It's as if you fill the entire world with chesed. So that's a beautiful idea just off the bat, that one individual, you have the capacity in your small corner of the world to ki'ilu, so to speak, fill the entire world with chesed. And he quotes a verse, quotes a pasuk, she'ne'amar, as it says in the pasuk, line number two, Oev tzedakah u'mishpat, someone who loves tzedakah, righteousness, or charity, and mishpat, and justice, chesed Hashem mal ha'aretz. So now the Gemara has a very interesting suggestion. The Gemara says, Shema tomar, line number three, maybe you will say, kol hagba likfots, kofates. So the word kofates, not related to kofix or kofiz, just for clarity. The word kofates literally means to jump. So it says, Shema Tomar, maybe you'll say, kol hakofates, anyone who jumps at the opportunity, it'll work out for them. Gemara says, Talmud Lomar, it teaches you, ma yakar chazdecha elokim. How the word, what does the word yakar mean? Yakar could mean either what? Precious or heavy. Weighty. So what is the Gemara saying? You think if you're going to set up for the intention of doing chesed, you plan to do chesed, you're going to jump to do chesed, kofet, it's going to work? Not so simple. Maybe it won't work out. The Gemara has an interesting observation in Maseches Bava Basra where it talks about the sugya of tzedakah. The Gemara says, sometimes we might intend to do tzedakah, and the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't let it work out in our favor. Interestingly, you know, maybe you intend to give to someone who is in need, and it turns out, unfortunately, this is the way of life, that sometimes that person may be misrepresenting their need. And then in your mind, you gave tzedakah, but in the end, the reality is you didn't even give tzedakah because the person didn't need it. They were just fooling you. So the idea of the intention of giving tzedakah, but the execution being out of your hands, that's sometimes the case. So the Gemara says, not so simple, it's just going to work out. You decide you're going to contribute. Maybe it won't work out. So now, how do you get yourself psyched up to do that? Because it's basically saying, well, I don't know, good luck to you. You know, maybe it's going to work, maybe it's not. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you. We are now on line number 4. I apologize, I didn't make enough this morning. Yachol, end of line 3. Yachol af yirei shamayim. What about Yachol? It's like from the Haggadah, Yachol Mirosh Chodesh. It might be, you might say, af yirei shamayim. Even somebody who has literally translated as fear of heaven, Cain, should be so for them. Talmud lomar, v'chesed Hashem me'olam v'ad olam al yireyav. What does the Gemara's last line mean? It means, you might think that you might not be successful in your attempt to do chesed, but if you're a yirei shamayim, if you have fear of heaven, then don't worry. For you, it's going to work out. And it quotes a pasuk, quotes a verse. Chesed Hashem, the chesed of Hashem, that is me'olam v'ad olam, from one world to the next. It's eternal. Al yireyav, on the people who fear God. It's a very interesting recipe. Isn't it? Chesed, you know, we think about what chesed looks like in our mind, and some of us think of going with children to a soup kitchen and volunteering or cutting up tomatoes and, right, or visiting someone who is not feeling well or calling somebody who is alone. And those are the images of chesed. What is the image of Yiras Shemayim? Right, a fear of heaven. It's hard to put down an image of what that looks like. And oftentimes, the image that we have of Yiras Shemayim is scary and probably unhealthy, so we shouldn't believe in that. Rav Cook has a chapter in one of his writings where he talks about the importance of atheism. Because the God that the atheists don't believe in, we don't believe in either. So atheism is very important. And Yiras Shamayim is one of those areas in which, if it's mischaracterized and misrepresented, it could be possibly even very damaging to someone if they think that God is somehow like out to get them. That's not what Yiras Shamayim means. But Yiras Shamayim, having fear of heaven, the seriousness of taking our life, you know, seriously, with focus, you know, that doesn't mean that there's no place for anything fun. It doesn't mean that for those people who enjoy sports, maybe the Super Bowl was something of interest. Or for those who like sports, maybe the Super Bowl wasn't of interest this year, depending on what your approach is. But Yiras Shamayim is very serious. And oftentimes, Yiras Shamayim is in the experience of solitude. You know, it's in a Perek of Tehillim. It's quietly at the Kotel. It's facing just myself and Hashem. It's not usually, Yiras Shamayim is not usually a social experience. Right? That's why, in a certain sense, the Chafetz Chaim talks about how the Chafetz Chaim, I don't think the Chafetz Chaim was antisocial. I don't think so. I think he was probably a very social person. But he talks about the dangers of being overly social as it could compromise a person's Yiras Shamayim. Because, you know, we talk, we say Lashon Hara, then we talk some more, we say some more Lashon Hara. So how do these two things coexist? What do they have to do with each other? Yiras Shamayim and Chesed, don't you, right? I don't know, if you would take a survey and say, how many people would put together Yiras Shamayim and Chesed? Those are two different, you know, you have experience in the world of women. I don't know anything about women at all. Bekoshi, I have two in our house that I'm still trying to navigate and figure that out. But in the world of the yeshiva, usually those two guys are not the same guy. Now, it's a caricature, but there is an element of truth to, like, the guy who's chuckling in the corner, the violent chuckler, you know, the heavy-duty Yerushalayim violent chuckler in the corner of the base medrash, who Shmoneh Esrei is like 37 minutes and everyone else finished Tachanun already. That's a very intense Yerushalayim guy. And then there's the guy who's out there, you know, protesting and feeding the homeless and doing all the, you know, the chesed activities and making sure that he's sleeping over in the hospital. Like, those two guys are usually not the same. So why does the Gemara put them together? What do we learn about ourselves from this very surprising juxtaposition? Because the truth is that even though it's humorous when we create this caricature in our mind, but we have both of them inside of each one of us, obviously. We have an element of our neshama that's predisposed to chesed. And for some, that's very dominant in their personality. And then we have an element of our neshama that's predisposed to Yerushalayim, to intensity. And for some, that's very dominant. And yet the Gemara puts them together. So much so, take a look at the next line here, halfway down line number 4. Amar Abchamar Bar Papa, who is one of the Amoraim, he says, "Kol mi sheyesh olav chesed." If you have somebody who has chesed, "biyodua," it's known, "shehu yirei shamayim." Chesed is actually an indication of yiras shamayim. You want to know whether somebody has yiras shamayim? Figure out if they do chesed. So it's actually a barometer. It's an indicator. And it quotes the same pasuk. Yirei shamayim shenemar v'chesed Hashem me'olam ve'ad olam al yireyav. And that's what Rashi, the rest of this paragraph is Rashi's explanation that we just summarized of this Gemara. So how do we understand this? How does it help us grow? What is it about this combination which is important for us to understand as we develop ourselves? So that's the question that Rav Volbe asks in the next line. He says, Eza, you see the standalone line after the paragraph. Eza nikuda mishutefes. What common point is there? Yeshna lechesed uliyira. What do they have to do with each other? Hello, shtein tuchunos shonos. They are disparate, different, distinct. Va'af hefichios. They're also, in a certain sense, contradictory. He says, this is the amazing insight. Hadavar mafli, this is incredible. That what? Shoresh echad lahem benefesh. They have one root. One root. Now this idea is important for this issue, which we'll talk about in a second. But bigadol, as we've started to allude to in the past in different ways, and this is an idea that we've mentioned from Rav Kook, that a lot of times aspects of our lives that we see as disparate or even in conflict with each other, actually, when you dig down, they come from the same root. They come from the same place. The ore, the light in the world that, if you will, maybe to use an image from this week's parsha, may be differentiated between seven different branches of the menorah, at its core, at its spiritual core, vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for godliness, it's all echad. It's all one light. Just we perceive it as different lights, and sometimes we perceive those lights as competing with each other. But they're really all from the same shoresh. That's true in so many aspects of Avodas Hashem. It's going to be true in this specific one, but when we think about it, and we've talked about this in different ways, maybe, the different values that we have really come from the same one. You know, you could talk about chesed, Avram Avinu, openness, energy, initiative on one hand, and Yitzchak Avinu, and Gvura, restraint, borders, limits, consequences, even harshness. You could see those as competing values, or you could see them as inner expressions of godliness that are manifest in different ways and appropriate in different situations. For sometimes it's important for us to emphasize chesed, and for other times it's important to emphasize gevura. But they're ba mishorish echad benefesh. It all comes back together. That's very important, because if we don't have that point, so then sometimes we can feel fragmented. And that fragmentation is often accented when we feel that we're stronger in one area than in a different area. And we feel like, well, we're really two different people. We're the chesed person, and then we're the yiras shamayim person. But it's no, we have to just remember, it's all one. It's like you envision, you know, you ever see when you go to a concert or a wedding, they have a guy with a gigantic black board, and he has little levers, and they go up and down. I have no idea what he does over there, but you have to pay that guy to stand there and do this. So, right? Well, he's the sound guy. He's the guy. Usually he has long hair, and it's often discolored or colored, depending on how you measure it, with a bandana. So it's all the same energy, and it's the same music. It's just modulating it differently. So everybody has the same shoresh. It's just that we modulate it differently. We shouldn't feel that we're really bifurcated. We're really two different people, or 15 different people, because we have the little chesed person inside of us. We have the little Yerushalayim person. We have the energetic side of us, and then we have the more cautious side. No, it's all ba mishoresh echad. All comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the shoresh deep down inside. Just the way that it manifests is different. You have some people on the right side of the menorah, that's one light, and you have somebody who's more on the left side of the menorah, but the or comes from the same place. So he says, interestingly, what's the shoresh of this nekuda? He says, yesh roa mechutzalo. There is someone who is able to see beyond themselves. V'yesh she'eino roa ba'olam ela esatzma. Some people, they are only able to see themselves. That's the question. That's the issue. Ze she'roa rak esatzmo. The person, I don't know, I lost track of what line we're on. We're on the third paragraph, second line. What line? 13, thank you. This person who is roet rakas atzmo, who only sees themselves. So what happens? Now you start thinking, you're already anticipating what he's going to say. Margish rak es asher chaser lo. Only feels what's lacking for them. Because their whole world, everything just revolves around them. So all they see are the areas of need that they have. Chai rak lahana aso shalo. A person only lives to enjoy it for themselves, because they're totally and wholly self-absorbed. Eino roe es zulaso. They don't see anybody else. Vision is an amazing thing, right? I don't know exactly why the Rabbeinu Shlomo made us this way. There are lots of things in our field of vision. But as a blessing, when we look at something, we only focus in on that one issue. Like if I'm looking at the door right now, it happens to be that when I'm conscious of it, I have books in my field of vision and lights and carpet. But if you were to ask me what I'm looking at, I would say I'm looking at the door. Probably because it would be like too much, way over stimulation if all the time my brain was thinking, table, chair, I didn't realize there's also a chair here, and there are people here, and there are people there. Like, it's too much, so you focus in on one thing. Well, if a person's always focused exclusively on themselves, there may be a lot of other things going on the periphery. It might be family members, it might be friends, it might be people walking down the street, but they don't notice them. Misha eino roe es zulaso, says Ravolbi. If you don't see somebody else, eino roe adam nitzrach, vegam es habore eino roe. The person doesn't see the other who is in need, and doesn't see the Ribbono shel Olam, because they're only focused on one thing, and that is themselves. Some of you probably saw this. I don't remember when someone sent it to me, and then recently, I'm in the middle of reading a book, which is a tremendous work. It's amazing, but it's very dense. It's like every three pages is a whole shiur, this book. It's called 12 Rules for Life, An Antidote to Chaos by Jordan B. Peterson. Jordan Peterson. Gewaldig, right?
Jewish.
What's that?
Not Jewish.
No, not Jewish. University of Toronto psychologist. Brilliant. Amazing insights. So much Torah there, he doesn't even know it. And a lot of it he does know because he quotes a lot of Chumash. He quotes a lot of Torah. So Jordan B. Peterson, in one of the shtiklach in the book, so he has a whole discussion about this idea of vision. And he quotes some of these, you probably have seen some of these YouTube videos over the year, where they ask someone, tell me, can you count how many white bears are on stage? You saw this, remember this? And then they have two black bears that are walking in and out, like in a kid's gymnasium. And then they ask them afterwards, did you see white bears? They said, yeah, we saw three white bears. Did you see anything else? Nothing. Gornish. You say, you sure? Nothing else there? And what do they say? Nothing. Then they play the tape back. They say, you didn't see there were two high school students dressed up like black bears walking around the screen? They say, no. Right? I'm not making it up. It says it in the book, and we've all seen it on YouTube. And if it's on YouTube, you know it's true. But you know, no one made that up. So the whole idea, says Rav Volpe, is that we see what we're focused on. And if what we're focused on is only ourselves, so there could be black bears running up and down the screen, there could be people crying for our attention. They're there, they're in our face, but we don't see them. We just do not see them. And the truth is, we really don't. It's not like we see them, but we're like, oh, we don't care. We actually, psychologically, somehow, we just don't see them at all. The Rabbonu Shel Olam could be waltzing back and forth on the stage, and we absolutely don't see him because all we see is ourselves.
It sounds so negative, but I think sometimes people are really lacking, and then that's what makes them see only themselves.
Meaning?
Like he says that they only are lacking, so they only, like, they're so focused on themselves that they only see what they're lacking. But some people really are lacking something big, and they can only focus on themselves.
Yeah, so I would say two points about what Wendy is saying. Number one is that a lot of times, I wonder, I suspect if you ask Dr. Tversky, Dr. Abraham J. Tversky, if you would ask him, what is the root of this problem? He would say that it's a person's low self-esteem. That lo aleinu, a person who has a low self-esteem gets into this rut where they're only focusing on themselves versus focusing on other people. And then the second point, which I would suggest, is that there are people in this room who I'm not going to single out because of their piety. I would embarrass them, but I suspect that everybody in this room can fit into this category in certain circumstances. I only know some as opposed to others. There are certain people who are in their own lives lacking in many ways. They face many great challenges. And yet, those people who have such great challenges somehow are able to focus on and to see beyond themselves. Right? Sometimes you'll talk to someone who's going, and you know that that person is going through a very difficult time. And yet, when you talk to that person, because that person is an Adam Gadol, what do they ask? They say, oh, how are you doing this morning? And you say to yourself, why is that person asking about me? They have so many difficulties. They have so many needs. They have so many challenges. And yet, they're so focused on other people, not just themselves. They have the capacity to say, how are you doing? You know, you ever go to a shiva house and you walk out of the shiva house, you feel like you really were inspired. You really were lifted up. And you're like, wait a second, I thought I was supposed to go there to sit with that person, to give them a sense of chizuk. But somehow, some people who are able to see others and reflect it back, they're able to do that. So I think I agree with you that that is an observation which we see. But I think on both sides, the first side is, you know, obviously, of course, if there is an acute issue it's not enabling somebody to think about somebody else. That's why it's interesting. The Gemara has an expression. The Gemara in Brachos talks about somebody who's a chole, who's an ill person. And one of the negative associations that goes with illness is that the person becomes very self-absorbed. That's perhaps why it's so powerful. The Gemara says that when a person who's ill davens for somebody else, right? So a lot of times, if somebody is ill, they're focused on themselves. At the same time, when you have somebody who's an Adam Gadol, you go to visit somebody in the hospital, and then the whole conversation is about you, and they're asking about you, and they're trying to, you know, it's not just about that person. So I think some of it comes from the question of how we build healthy self-esteem so that we can overcome those obstacles and not get sucked into being selfish, Because that's the natural consequence of struggling, of suffering, is to be turned inward, is to be focused on ourselves, but also to be inspired by all the people, some of them in this room, who are able to take a situation which is a challenge and not let that define them and still be able to be focused on more than just themselves. Do those two observations resonate, or I'm missing the mark here still? I think there's truth to that. Yeah, what were you saying?
How do you get out of your rut?
So this is a big avoda. I have no idea. I'm just kidding. So Dr. Tursky would say this is why he wrote 70 books or whatever, which is how to build a healthy sense of self. And that comes back to a lot of what we've been talking about so much over the last, hard to believe, a year and a half, of this work of Rav Volpe of focusing on who we are and what makes us ourselves and why are we here and what are we doing here and how do we measure our self-worth. If our self-worth is measured externally, then building a healthy sense of self is very difficult. We're always comparing. We're never able to do enough, especially now for those who are on social media. Where was I listening to recently? There was a whole description on NPR about the effects of comparing through social media. And that issue of comparing compounds the question of measuring up against someone. Oh, it's also a separate Shtickel Torah in Jordan B. Peterson about comparing yourself to someone else versus comparing yourself to the best person that you can be. So a lot of how do we get out of this is figuring out what did the Ribbono Shel Olam give me in terms of my qualities and the things that I can accomplish in this world and that are unique to me. And so that's, you know, the self-awareness and the self-growth. So that can help us get out of being so drawn down into being selfish and struggling with self-esteem. But it comes from that, believing in ourselves that we have something to contribute. And then we can focus outward. But you notice the people who have a high self-concept are able to navigate, right? They have a higher emotional intelligence. They're able to navigate the world better. But the chiddush to me was such a brilliant chiddush of Rav Volpe is to tell us that this point, this observation is what is at the core of both chesed and yiras shamayim. It's the same shoresh. A person who is self-absorbed only sees themselves and nothing else on the periphery, so they never do chesed because they never even notice. You can't blame them for not doing chesed because how could they do chesed? They didn't even notice that somebody was in their periphery. And the same person also has no yiras shamayim because they don't recognize that God is around them all the time. They're just so narrowly focused on what are their immediate needs. They don't think about the consequences of their actions as it relates to somebody else, as it relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the essence of what it means to be a child. Children only think about my needs right now. They don't think about what that consequence is going to be for somebody else. And what is the greatest mark of maturity for a child? When a child can stand up and say, "Oh, if I only invite this person, well then what's going to happen to the next kid? How is that kid going to feel?" Right, that's the mark of maturity. Because then we see people who are in their 60s or 70s or whatever age who are doing the same childish behavior, only thinking about the consequences for themselves, not for what is going to be, you know, either I ate too much and I'm not thinking about what the consequences are going to be for that later. You know, consequences is what means yiras shamayim. Yiras shamayim could be substituted for consequences. What are the effects of my actions? Where's the Ribbono Shel Olam at some point in this cheshbon? So Rav Volpe concludes this passage, and we're running out of time. Oh, we're over time. Oy, I'm sorry. We'll just finish up. He says, imagine somebody who is sitting in a locked room with closed windows. He says, however, kishuhu posech, fourth line from the end of the paragraph, kishuhu posech es hachalon ma'at. When you open the window a little bit, all of a sudden you see everything. You see the heavens, you see the earth, you see the whole world out there. So too, he says that when a person is self-absorbed, when we can only think about ourselves, so we don't think about what are the ramifications for the people around us and what are the ramifications for the Ribbono Shel Olam, because we're so stuck in ourselves. He says, last line, Al Kain, therefore, Yo lo yikonu ha-yira v'ha-chesed, yira, Yiras Shamayim, the thought of the Ribono Shel Olam, something larger than myself, v'achesed, and kindness to other people, it's lo yikonu, it will not settle, b'mishu shakua b'shrirus libo, in somebody who is selfish. Hayodea, somebody who knows, and this may not be innate to us, but we have the opportunity to learn it and to grow it, which is the goal of our life. Hayodea lehisgaber, somebody who knows how to overcome al shrirus libo, on the hardness, so to speak, on the selfishness of their heart, v'leftoachas libo, and to open their heart, l'shnayim huzoche. You kill two birds with one stone. And what is that? Chesed and Yira. Both of those, even though they seem to be opposites, they come from the same shoresh of being aware, of being conscious and open to that which is around us. So the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about these two elements of Chesed and Yira in the following pages. Have a great day.